On aluminum crutches, the rubber tips worn away, 61-year-old Antonio Romão's trip across Melange City is slow and painful. In 1977, Romão, then a soldier in the Angolan army, was on patrol in the bush, searching for UNITA rebels. He stepped on a landmine and lost a leg. 17 years later, and despite a nominal ceasefire, the army and the rebels are still laying mines. The British Army estimates that more than 20 million are strewn across this country of 10 million people. Official records say nearly 39,000 government soldiers have lost limbs to mines. No one keeps accurate track of civilian casualties, but tens of thousands have been killed and maimed, and there are more civilian victims than military.
I was returning from looking for cassava and was following some soldiers when I stepped on a mine.
I was in the forest making charcoal and stepped on a mine. There was a big explosion.
Both of these women were badly injured. The hospital in Melange has treated nearly 450 mine victims in the past 15 months and now admits 5 civilian casualties a week. An Irish aid agency recorded 30 deaths in December alone. How many die or are wounded outside Melange, no one knows. Melange and other cities under UNITA siege are surrounded by concentric belts of minefields, sometimes 3 kilometers wide. Roads and bridges are mined. Many victims never make it to the hospital. The siege has cut off the population from the food supply. Desperate civilians are forced to cross minefields and the front lines to search for food and fuel. Many children in Melange, now dependent on food aid flown in by the United Nations World Food Program, say their mothers went to look for food and never returned. There is consistent evidence across Angola that UNITA rebels deliberately mined the fertile farmland as a cheap way of terrorizing civilians. Mines also hinder army operations.
So, what's the road look like?
All provincial roads like this one running southwest from Melange have been mined. On a rare trip with an army convoy to a remote outpost, the lead armored personnel carrier moves cautiously and stops every 50 meters. This is another intended effect of landmines. It makes any sort of movement, whether it's civilian or military, through the countryside very, very slow and sometimes simply impossible. The convoy, we have stopped again, and we've now got a squad of soldiers with metal probes out in front probing the road for mines. The troops are understandably nervous. Stopping to check for any suspicious object in the road makes the convoy an easy target for an ambush, and there's no place to hide. The fields are mined too. Patrols like this one, though, are trained to hunt for landmines. Civilians are usually the victims. We're now passing the remains of a tractor and a wagon by the side of the road. 3 months ago, this tractor with 23 civilians in the wagon on back ran over a UNITA landmine in the middle of the road, killed all 23 civilians.
Officer, camarade, tenente, general. Batalhão 555, Kangan. Pronto, formado. Proceder à execução.
At the Kangandu garrison, a small farming village before the war, a visiting general congratulates soldiers who fought off a UNITA attack the day before, killing 33 of the rebels.
Batalhão 555 da Defesa Civil.
There are many landmines here, this soldier says. Many UNITA were killed in the minefield.
Comando operacional de Melange.
The problem in this war is that soldiers do not map their own minefields. It's a dilemma well illustrated when government troops try to search their own perimeter for enemy dead after the battle. Nobody really knows where the mines are. It's both defensive mines laid by the government to protect the garrison and offensive mines laid by UNITA infiltrators over the past few months. And there are so many mines that
We've had to turn back. We're walking in single file, each man following very closely the footsteps of the man in front, and no one strays off this path. During an early morning artillery exchange between the army and UNITA outside Melange, town church bells sound a warning to civilians. The minefields are so thick that infantry is bogged down, and during this fragile ceasefire, both sides occasionally pound each other with heavy guns. If landmines have impeded armies, they have brought civilian agriculture to a halt. Tiny farming villages are cut off. They're now islands in a sea of thousands of anti-personnel mines. The people of Mashinda say they can no longer tend their crops. Nearly every family has lost someone to a landmine or in a UNITA ambush. Virgilio Gilo runs a government program trying to help villagers find safe land to farm. He jokes that the rich land is now best suited for growing deadly imported crops.
American mines, Russian mines, French mines, Italian mines, England mines, South African mines, and I think there may be another country.
I'm looking at a display of landmines. These are some of the most commonly used mines in the Angolan War and in most wars, and not one of these mines is made in Angola. This Italian anti-personnel mine that I'm holding in the palm of my hand, it weighs just a couple of ounces, and it would cost only a dollar or two for this mine. It's made entirely of plastic and is virtually undetectable, and it remains lethal in the ground for many years after it's placed there. It's simple technology. A few pounds of pressure detonates the explosive charge, causing extensive damage. Amputation is the usual treatment. Some anti-personnel mines are more ingenious and deadly. An initial charge sends some mines bouncing a meter into the air. The main charge then explodes at chest level. Anti-personnel mines are made in more than 40 countries. China, Russia, Italy, and the United States head the list. Worldwide sales are said to be $200 million. Lieutenant Colonel Antonio da Silva Jorge is a landmine expert with the Angolan Army.
It's good business for whoever is making the mines, but it's bad business for the people of Angola.
Hospitals across war-ravaged Angola cannot adequately treat the tens of thousands of victims or even dream of rehabilitating them. At Melange Hospital, where the wards are full of casualties, Dr. Joaquim Neho is frustrated and angry.
I hope you will tell the American people and people around the world to stop sending war material like this to Angola and to send us food and other things we need instead.
An international ban on exports of anti-personnel mines would not alleviate the suffering. Mine clearing techniques lag far behind mine technology. For years to come, mines already in place will present an international problem that one expert has called weapons of mass destruction in slow motion. For the Christian Science Monitor, this is Philip Winslow reporting from Melange in Angola's Central Highlands.